It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This summer, the Republican federal budget reconciliation bill made a lot of changes to the student loan system, affecting current students and people with existing loans.
The new law creates stricter borrowing limits, and it changes loan forgiveness programs.
A quarter of all Americans under 40 have student loan debt. That's according to Pew Research.
And with the college fall semester kicking off, more students are heading to the classrooms and taking out loans.
Carol Trone is executive director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt and executive director of Fair Opportunity Project, a nonprofit focused on college access and affordability. Carol, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of changes, it looks like, to our student loan repayment system. I want to look at different people interested in this story, and I want to start with people who are currently holding student loan debt, especially the people who have been involved in alternative repayment programs or deferred repayment. What kind of things should they be paying attention to right now?
Well, the most important thing is to be paying attention to their loans. And so we have had, I'd say, a pretty unprecedented stretch of time where borrowers were not required to repay their loans. There was a forbearance for almost 4 years with the pandemic payment pause. And so if you're someone with student loan debt now, and something like over 700,000 Wisconsinites are in that situation, they need to be looking at what loans and loans more often they have. So they should go to studentaid.gov, log into their account, make sure that they're aware of any private loans they have, and they'll see those through their credit reports.
One big question I see coming up now that people will start to pay again is interest and what's happening to interest. What are people looking at? Again, that person who's currently holding student loan debt.
So the thing that I think a lot of people are hearing about is how interest charges resumed August 1st for borrowers who are currently in the SAVE plan. And what happened with borrowers in the SAVE plan was from last August until this August, that interest was not being charged. They were in an administrative forbearance because of court action. And so for the SAVE borrowers, and there's something like 8 million of those borrowers nationwide, so they can still stay in the SAVE plan. It's still being litigated. It still is in existence. However, they should know that now they are going to have interest being charged, and so their balances are going to grow.
I want to turn to new students now. We're kicking off a fall semester. What do those students and parents need to know about changes in student loans that came from this reconciliation bill?
Yeah, so if we're talking about new students who are, say, maybe high school seniors, and they are looking at what their options are for after high school, one thing to know is that in recent years, we also did hear about a pretty bumpy FAFSA rollout. So FAFSA is the federal form for free financial aid. One thing to know is that FAFSA for this year is back on track. It's scheduled to open October 1. And so not only for new students, but for continuing students, anyone who wants to be eligible for financial aid, they need to fill out their FAFSA. The aggravations that some of us older students know or remember, FAFSAs are much shorter now. Fewer questions. Most people can complete them in 20 minutes or less.
Then for that student and or family looking at their loan options, how much tuition is going to cost, that kind of thing. Again, as their long-term planning, how much debt is this saddling us with? What in these changes from Congress is going to determine post-college, how these loans get paid off?
Yeah. So what I mean, there are changes. There are changes coming down the pike. I think a couple things to point out is that the average amount of debt that a Wisconsin student takes on is about $32,000. when we hear about these huge numbers that of debt that certain people do take on, they more often are those who are going to medical school or law school, you know, high-cost professional programs. More of that debt is accumulated by people who are going into graduate school. So at an undergraduate level, the borrowing limits have not changed. There will be changes in terms of the Parent PLUS loans beginning next July. So there will be changes that parents should be paying attention to, not only with the amount that they can borrow. There'll be a $65,000 lifetime limit per child, per dependent, for new loans that are taken on after next July. The undergraduate loan limits have not changed, but at the grad level, they have. And so if you're a student who is, you know, taking the long view as you should, and you're thinking about, well, what is it that I want to be doing, you know, for my profession, you should be paying attention now to what you would be borrowing, what you plan to be borrowing, what your budget looks like for undergraduate as well as for graduate, because with the new limits, they, you know, they very well might cut you off below the amount that you actually need to fund your full program, and then that's where we're wondering if people now are going to be turning towards the private loan market.
What is different about taking a private loan as opposed to going through a federal program, whether that's to make up the difference if I'm in an advanced medical school or something like that, or maybe a family saying, gosh, this federal stuff sounds complicated, should I weigh the option of going to a private lender?
Right, yeah. So I think it's an important question. Most people do take federal loans to pay for school. Federal loans have generally more flexibilities. So we were talking earlier about income-based repayment plans. And so that is still an option of a federal loan. It's not typically an option for a private loan. There are other benefits like having your loan subsidized while you're in school. And that typically is not an option if you are taking out a private loan. An important thing, too, is that with a private loan, you need to be credit worthy. You need to have a certain credit score. You may often need to have a cosigner. And so for borrowers where that may be a challenge, this could be an additional barrier for students who want to pursue those educational dreams.
I want to ask you something about the reconciliation bill that, I'll be honest, I don't quite get how this works. The concept is, as I read it, Congress is trying to say, hey, we're going to have this system where if you are paying off loans, your loan debt doesn't go up, right? Because we hear these concerns like, well, I can't keep paying loans, and look, my principal is higher now than it was when I started. What are the is that really what's happening, A? And if so, what's the mechanism?
Yeah, so this actually is a silver lining in the new plan that will be coming forward. So this was definitely a serious issue for many borrowers where they could be technically in good terms with their repayment, but not be making enough to actually pay all the interest that they're accruing or do anything around the principal. So essentially what will happen is if you are in one of those very low income levels, and so your income-based repayment is less than what the balance of your loan is going to be accruing in interest, you won't get underwater with that. So the government will actually cover that so that you are always making at least a very nominal, I think it's $50 a month, so that at worst case, your loan under this new plan, this is what's been promised, is your loan won't grow for those reasons.
And if I could sum up the main takeaway here for people with student loan debt, If you've been out of sight, out of mind because payments were paused, get it InSight and InMind and right away. Do I have that about right?
That's right. And so for a lot of borrowers, like I was saying earlier, it's hard for them to know what they should be doing. On our organization's website, we actually have a checklist so that you know everything that you should be doing. You can certainly call or email us if you're wondering what you should be doing. There are real concerns that many borrowers are going to find themselves falling into default because of these long payment pauses. Things are starting up again. And if you find yourself worried or overwhelmed about just the thought of your repayment, call your servicer. So the worst thing you can do is be silent and try to avoid it. Don't be hiding under a rock because the consequences are going to be worse than you want them to be.
Carol, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Carol Trone, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt. Now we continue our conversation on what students should prepare for when applying for financial aid this semester. Kevin Sheridan is Assistant Vice President of Financial Aid and Student Accounts at Concordia University, Wisconsin and Ann Arbor. Kevin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We're hearing about a lot of changes to the student loan system at the federal level. For your incoming students this year and returning students, what kind of things are you noticing? What kind of things are you pointing out to them?
Yeah. Well, I'd say first and foremost, we're excited about the FAFSA moving back to October 1st. Mm-hmm. I think that's primary number one for incoming families, is that all of the delays with the new FAFSA really have caused a hamper in the recruitment cycle and really caused families some undue stress in trying to figure out their college decision. In terms of things we're noticing for next year with federal aid and all of the things coming out, we're really trying to communicate a lot about changes to the Parent PLUS loan for our dependent students. There's some big changes there with how much families can borrow each year and how much they can borrow over the lifetime of their student being in school. So we're really trying to give families a leg up on that so that they have as much time as possible to prepare.
What kind of resources are out there for that family in that situation trying to figure out what that Parent PLUS change means?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great stuff on each school's website in terms of some of the changes. I know we've done a lot of individual communication, and as we get ramped up with the fall of 2026 recruiting class, which sounds crazy, as we get started with them, we do a bunch of webinars for students, just kind of, here's the stuff you need to know about the FAFSA, and then, you know, right after the turn of the calendar, kind of, okay, we're now getting closer to the start. Here are the things you need to know about paying for school.
You've mentioned the FAFSA, a big part, of course, of the student finance system. Whenever I talk to people in your kind of position, I think the message is, yes, fill out the FAFSA, even if you don't think you're going to get scholarships. Is that still true? Just fill up, it doesn't do any harm to fill out the FAFSA.
Absolutely. What I'd say, Rob, is that the FAFSA is kind of like the bouncer at a club, is you really can't start the student aid process without it. So even though you might not be eligible for federal grants, the Wisconsin state grants tie to the results of your FAFSA. For private schools in the state of Wisconsin, their grants and scholarships tie to the FAFSA. So it's really that kind of first step into seeing what options are available to you.
Now, for students with a more financially challenged background, they might say, well, I'm hearing this stuff about financial aid. It's not going to be there. I'm not going to bother applying to a lot of colleges. I don't think I'm going to be able to afford it, maybe not apply to colleges at all. What would you say to someone in that position who might be a good potential match for Concordia?
Yeah, I would say is always start the process. Is one of the things that's great about the FAFSA and the new FAFSA, one of the few great things is you can add more school codes. So the worst thing you do is you take the half hour to fill out the FAFSA and you put a bunch of schools on there in the state of Wisconsin, private, public, even technical, and then you're able to really see what can I afford. Because I think that's one of the biggest things is people hear Concordia is a private school. What students actually pay is very similar to what they'd pay at a state school. But immediately when they hear private school, they're like, oh, I can't afford that. So I think it's always important to see those options and to see if it is affordable.
As you're talking to colleagues there and to students and families, did you get a sense of confusion about the student loan landscape, but more confusion than usual? Because I think it was already kind of confusing.
Rob, I think we're finding a way to confuse families and even starting to get too confusing financial aid administrators. It's been incredibly confusing. The reason I mentioned the bouncer at the club, because that's become my new favorite reference when talking with families, is we've had a number of people who either didn't think the FAFSA pertained and there was no way to pay for school, or the other end where it's just like, oh, the FAFSA will cover absolutely every cost. And so I think with all the changes and with everything in the news is, I don't think a lot of families know which way is up anymore. And then you get the stuff that different parts of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act had, where the House wanted to change something, and then that releases, and then the Senate didn't want that. And so I think that just added to the confusion. If you tried to stay up on it, unless you saw a final version, you have no idea what changed and what didn't.
Finally, a big part of the story is not just, okay, I'm taking the loan because I'm going to school now, but thinking about paying off that loan in the long run. What kind of things do you talk to students and families about when it comes to saying, okay, make sure you're not overburdened with debt in the decades to come?
Yeah, I think the first thing I always start with when talking about student loans is I kind of try to talk about where the issues are, because I think there's a growing conversation about just all student loans are bad and everyone who takes out a student loan ends up in crippling debt for the rest of their life. And there are absolutely those stories. But a lot of what we see with those 18 to 22-year-olds, you know, your traditional college student, is most of them can really only borrow $28,000 in loans from the federal government while they're in school. And by no means is that a small amount, but it's not the $200,000 you hear about in some of these stories. And so I think I start there with, okay, before we start talking loans, start with not all loans are bad, and taking out a loan does not mean it's the end of your life and is going to cripple you for life. But I think it's important, as we discuss with families, that parents also discuss with their students about what their family can really afford. I think one of the things I see is that having that tough conversation between a parent and a student isn't happening as much as it used to. Speaking for self, is when I was going to school, is we looked at a number of different private public schools, and my mom was very honest about, like, yep, we can afford that. Nope, no chance we can afford that. And what I see is that parents don't necessarily want to say no. So they're like, no, we can take out loan debt, and not really thinking through the long term of those outside loans or even Parent Plus on their credit.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us, and have a good kickoff to this new school year.
Thank you, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
That was Kevin Sheridan, Assistant Vice President of Financial Aid and Student Accounts at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Ann Arbor. We also heard from Carol Trone, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt, been looking at changes to the student loan programs this year.